Chapter 25. The next morning, Eleanor woke to the sound of Marianne crying. At breakfast, Marianne did not even attempt to eat, and Eleanor attempted to divert the attention of Mrs. Jennings. Immediately afterwards, a letter arrived for Marianne from Willoughby. Marianne took it and ran out of the room, and a few minutes later, Eleanor followed her. She found Marianne lying on her bed, almost choked by grief, holding Willoughby's letter in her hand. Marianne put the letter in Eleanor's hand, and she read, "My dear madam, I have just received your letter. I am much concerned to find out that there was anything in my behaviour last night that upset you, and though I have no idea of how I managed to offend you, I must ask your forgiveness and assure you that any offence I gave was purely unintentional. I have fond memories of my former acquaintance with your family in Devonshire. My esteem for your family is very sincere, but I never meant for you to think or expect any more than this. You must recognise that it is impossible that I ever meant more, for my affections have long been engaged elsewhere, and it will not now be many weeks before I am married. It is with the greatest regret that I obey your command of returning your letters and the lock of hair which you so kindly gave me. I am, dear madam, your most humble servant, John Willoughby." Eleanor read the letter with disgust. Every line of it was an insult. Its wording was impudent and cruel. She could never have believed Willoughby capable of such villainy, but it was now clear that he was an utterly unprincipled man. After Eleanor had brought Marianne a glass of wine to calm her nerves, Marianne finally spoke. "Poor Eleanor, how unhappy I make you." "I only wish," replied Eleanor, "that I could do something to comfort you." "Oh, Eleanor, I am miserable indeed," continued Marianne. "You are so happy, you have no idea what I suffer." "Do not call me happy, Marianne. If only you knew. And how can you believe that I am happy when I see you so wretched?" "Forgive me," said Marianne, throwing her arms around her sister's neck. "I know you feel for me. But still you must be happy. Edward loves you, and what can take away that happiness?" "Many, many things," said Eleanor solemnly. "No, you can have no grief," cried Marianne, "and I can have nothing else." "You must not talk like this, Marianne," said Eleanor. "Much as you suffer now, imagine how much worse it would have been if your engagement had lasted longer before he ended it." "Engagement? There has been no engagement." "No engagement?" cried Eleanor. "He is not so unworthy as you believe him," said Marianne. "His behaviour implied every day that he loved me, but he never declared it." "Yet you wrote to him." "Yes, but was that so wrong?" asked Marianne. Eleanor said no more, and read Marianne's letters to Willoughby. They were so warm and full of affection that it increased Eleanor's anger at their contrast with Willoughby's cold style. However, her anger did not blind her to the imprudence of Marianne's writing them. "I felt myself engaged to him," added Marianne. "I can believe it," said Eleanor, "but unfortunately, he did not feel the same." "He did feel the same, Eleanor. I know he did. Whatever may have changed him now, I was once as dear to him as my own soul could wish. I have been cruelly used, but not by Willoughby. I cannot believe it is in his nature to be cruel. This woman of whom he writes may have turned him against me." "If this is true, then do not let your enemies see you so miserable. Try to appear happy, if only for my mother's sake and mine." "No, misery such as mine has no pride," said Marianne. And then, after a pause, she added, "Eleanor, I must go home. Cannot we be gone tomorrow?" "No, that would be impossible," replied Eleanor. "We owe Mrs. Jennings much more than civility." "Well, then, another day or two. But I cannot stay here long. I cannot stay to endure the remarks and questions of people like the Middletons and the Palmers. I cannot bear their pity, exclaimed Marianne. Chapter 26. When Mrs. Jennings heard the news, she felt deeply concerned for Marianne, and declared Willoughby to be a good-for-nothing fellow. To Eleanor's surprise, Marianne attempted to be calm and dined with them that evening, but it was a great effort for her, and she was still unable to speak. Before long, she hurried out of the room. Poor soul! She did not even finish her wine, cried Mrs. Jennings. It is an odd thing for a young man to use a pretty girl so ill. But when there is plenty of money on one side, and next to none on the other, such things can happen. So the lady, Miss Grey, I think you called her, is very rich? Inquired Eleanor. Oh, yes, she has £50,000. She is from a very rich family. I had no idea about all this when Mr. Willoughby's letter arrived this morning. If I had known, I am sure I would never have joked about it. How concerned Sir John and my daughters will be when they hear about it. I am sure it would be unnecessary for you to caution Mrs. Palmer and Sir John against ever mentioning Mr. Willoughby's name in front of my sister, said Eleanor. Oh, indeed, it must be terrible for her to hear it talked of. I would not mention it to her for the world, replied Mrs. Jennings. No more would Sir John and my daughters, for they are all very thoughtful and considerate, especially if I give them a hint, and I certainly will. And anyway, what good does talking ever do?